Have you ever had people tell you that gaming's just for kids? Okay, D&D is for everyone. But how do kids contribute? Welcome to Gaining Advantage. Welcome to Gaining Advantage. We are using tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons to help you make lives better. So the Limitless Champions Kickstarter is now live, and it's almost funded. We're almost there. We are creating the largest, most diverse collection of disabled fantasy game miniatures that is ever made. And so we have characters with alopecia, with cerebral palsy, chronic fatigue syndrome, Down syndrome, fibromyalgia, a whole bunch of different things. Each character includes a 5e stat block, background information, personality, full color character art, like these cards, and plot hooks for inclusion in your game, stat blocks on the other sides of the cards. You also get introductory material on creating a more accessible gaming environment, right? This kind of stuff just simply does not exist right now. And so we are offering all of that. Also, a chest we have available with custom art on the top that you get to pick what kind of art goes on it. And if we also just added a digital-only tier, right? If you say, well, I don't use miniatures, or I play online, or I play Theater of the Mind, or for whatever other reason, and as cool as these things are, if you think, well, but I just don't have a use for it, and so I can't really justify the cost, or I don't have a 3D printer, which we have printing options, or you can print them yourself, different options that way. But if you really don't need the miniatures, right? You can get, we have a digital-only tier that has the same PDF, that has all the character information, so you can add these NPCs. We have digital versions of the cards, so that you can keep them handy for a quick reference. Keep it on your phone while you have everything else on your computer, or whatever works best for you. We have a set of JPEGs of the cards, so that you can, if you want to show your players a picture of the character, of the NPC that they meet or something like that, you can use that. And then if we hit our first stretch goal, we will also have VTT tokens added to that. And that will also be included in that digital only tier. All right, here's the thing. 25% of the global population is disabled. And besides the combat wheelchair series that Strata Miniatures did a couple years ago, there are no other disabled miniatures out there, except a handful of amputations, you know, peg leg pirates and things like that. It just simply doesn't exist, right? D&D is almost 50 years old, and miniatures, wargaming miniatures, were around before that, and we still just don't have that kind of representation in this industry. But now imagine the possibility. Imagine if we did. All right, so people start using these miniatures, help people to incorporate disabled characters into their game worlds. All right, then over time, the more companies, more publishers start to add that to their products because they see that people are interested in that. And geeks have money and they want to spend it. And so if they are used to having disabled characters in their game worlds and it feels strange not to have them when they're such a huge part of the real world, then so then we get more of that in role-playing game products, right? And then the 15 million D&D players plus however more that are out there start to notice, huh, we have this kind of representation in other kinds of media, TV, movies, all that kind of stuff. And they start to ask, hey, why are you excluding these people from being represented in your shows and movies and stuff? And so then over time, because of demand, we see more representation there. Pretty soon, people that are not comfortable being around disabled people become comfortable because it becomes so prominent in their lives. They get to know characters in their favorite media that represent those kinds of experiences. And so then they just feel more comfortable around it. It just makes everyone's life better everywhere. So that's what we're trying to do. And so I hope that you'll support Limitless Champions, the links in the show notes. So with that said, let's get on with the interview. Summer is coming, which means keeping the kids entertained, hopefully with something that'll be more beneficial than just burning off energy. So what about D&D? This month, we welcome Hunter Getzman of Mercury Adventure Club to talk about D&D Day Camp. So welcome, Hunter.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So what would you like to know, first of all, about you personally, specifically talking to the role-playing game crowd?
Well, I mean, I guess I'd like to say that I love the role-playing game crowd. I'm happy to say that it's been a very welcoming community, and I really just want to make it more so for people of all shapes, sizes, stripes, ages, you know, whatever you have, come with it, and let's turn you into a gamer.
Yeah. All right. So tell us about Mercury Adventure Club.
Yeah, this is an idea that I had. It was born out of this. I'm a teacher, right? So I do these summer camps or summer school programs all the time every summer, because if I sit still for too long, my wife calls it mopey. I call it just relaxing. So agree to disagree on that. Mm-hmm. But this is something that keeps me busy for the summer. And I always said, let's have a D&D summer camp. Let's have a D&D summer camp. Nobody was biting. Nobody was saying, oh, yeah, let's do that. So I decided to just do it myself. And when it came down to it, I just really love running D&D and role-playing games with people, especially youth, especially kids. And so I just decided I'll make an adventuring club. And the big project is the summer camp, but we do other things too. So I just said, let's do it, right?
Cool. So what's it like?
I guess the best way to describe it is that we get kids playing games. We get adults playing games. It's meant to be easy access, low price. I do have to consider I'm trading off my free time with my own kid, my own wife. Where I wouldn't be working, I'd be able to just have my own time to myself. So there is a cost, but it's really meant to keep things accessible. So I keep things low price. We run games that are really focused on learning the game. I call myself a teaching DM. I have an attitude that everyone has something to learn, including myself. So we take things real casual at some point, but we also focus on an experience where people go home feeling like they are better at playing the game and they enjoyed themselves.
Cool. That's great. So this is a day camp. And so it's something during the day. This isn't like people go, you know, get rid of your kids for 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, I could just imagine having the bunk houses sleeping overnight. No thanks. Been there, done that. Yeah, this is a day camp. So for the summer camp specifically, we're just doing it from 9 to 4. We're playing 3 hours in the morning, having a lunch break, building some community, hanging out, relaxing a little bit, getting to know each other. And then the afternoon, we focus a little bit on the adjacent hobbies. Maybe the kids want to learn how to paint minis or draw maps or work on character art. Maybe they really want to get down into the nitty-gritty of the rules. They want to start building min-max characters. There's a way to play this game so many ways. So the afternoon's going to be these electives, where the GMs and I will teach them the things that we know and just follow their lead for what they want to learn.
That's a really cool idea. I love that. Because, yeah, there are so many things connected. And I imagine there's kids that, they really want to DM, but they're kind of nervous about it and feel the pressure and stuff. And I know I never learned how to paint, and You know, here we're getting ready for a miniatures Kickstarter, and I know that I can't paint to save my life. So,
you know, you say you can't paint, but I always tell my students in my classroom or at the table, if you want to get good at something, you just got to start and you just got to do it. So, you know, I would say you can paint. You just haven't practiced enough. I trust the process, and you'd have yourself an amazing mini, I'm sure.
That's true. That's very true. And yeah, I just don't have time to learn how to. Yeah,
that's the limiting factor for adults. Which, you know, one reason I like kids and playing with kids is this is sometimes their only hobby that they're focused on. They've got school, but this might be their big outlet. So they don't have the same. There's always the memes out there about scheduling is the biggest opponent in Dungeons and Dragons. There's the big bad, but then there's scheduling that trumps that. And, you know, kids, they might go to birthday parties or have school projects or go on vacation, but for the most part, they want to be there.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, kids, just tonight, my daughter, I'm bored. What is that like? I don't know what bored.
Oh, what a luxury to be bored, right?
Right. Yeah. But to be able to, when I was a kid, being able to play D&D, you know, during the summer. Well, okay, we did, but you know, to be able to go somewhere and. You know, to have kind of an organized thing with some help and stuff like that. I mean, we didn't even have books. So we were just making it up on the fly with grab paper and D6s.
Right. And that is a good way to play. But, you know, it is tough to maintain that. It's not sustainable, right? One of the things that kids tell me most is they have started their own campaigns, but it died or fizzled out after one or two sessions. And the reason is that it is a lot of prep work for whoever's running the game. And unless there's some sort of structure, there's nothing really getting you to come back. So I think really the big thing is anytime I think about teaching or GMing, just showing up is a big thing. If kids can rely on you, depend on you to be where you're saying you're going to be, it makes for a better experience for everyone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And having those adults in their lives too is such a powerful thing. Just to have adults in your life that care about you, that are happy to see you, that are interested in listening to you, and that are not. That are not related to you.
Mm-hmm. I think of the people I'm related to, and I had a lot of adults that were amazing in my life and were interested in what I had to do, what I was saying as a kid. But to have somebody outside, the teachers, the librarians, the janitor, the bus driver, when they knew your name and were, you know, saying, "Hey, see you next Monday" or whatever, what a powerful feeling it is to actually matter in someone's life who. They really don't have to. There's nothing they gain out of it besides just a good relationship. There's nothing the bus driver gained from saying hi, Hunter, in the morning, besides just being a kind person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's huge. What else? How many kids do you and adults do you have with this or what are we looking at for size?
Yeah, I mean, the big hope is that we'd have about 25 gamers or campers for each week. We've got 2 weeks. So I'm hoping we get 50 kids. That could plus or minus, you know. And with that, we're going to run groups of about 5 players per table. That could go up or down depending on needs. So we've got some professional game masters coming from Bad Wolf Adventure Studios. They've partnered with me. Really great offer from them. They have vetted game masters that do this professionally, and they have experience running games with kids, so it made it really easy to say yes to this idea. So we're thinking about 5 GMs and 25 kids. just playing D&D and doing these hobbies for 7 hours Monday through Friday and learning a lot, having a lot of fun, and hopefully having what I hope it's a memorable experience, that it really does feel once in a lifetime. Even if I keep on doing it and they can come back next summer, I hope it feels like that once in a lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, I think that's something that they're going to take with them. You know, if it's something they could do every summer, you know, when they grow up, they're, you know, able to tell their kids, oh yeah, this is what I did on my summer vacation, you know? Yeah, no, that's great. So, so I learned about this, because you and I are both in Twin Cities in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But could you talk a little bit, and I didn't give you this in advance, but I was just thinking about, we have people all over the world that that are tuning in that obviously are a bit too far away to send their kids for the day. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on how to get something like this going in your area, or, you know, or how, if somebody else wanted to say, hey, this sounds like a great idea, I'd like to do this. Do you, you know, you've obviously put some work into organizing this and stuff like that. That's way too much work to, you know, to summarize in a few minutes, but could you just talk about a little bit about the prep and just kind of the, what went into making it happen?
Yeah, that's a really interesting notion. It's a good question. All of this for me started in the before times, you know, before COVID hit. I was getting prepared to do this. Like I said, it was just a passion project for me. I think kids want to play Dungeons and Dragons in the summer, and that's when they have time, and why not do it as this? The first thing I did was started thinking about what can I offer? And I'm an elementary school teacher. The best thing I can offer is my time and attention and care to kids, to give them a safe environment to play, and a regular environment where they can play, they can rely on me, right? And if you have that, you have a big part of the challenge taken care of. After that, it's finding a location. For me here in the Twin Cities, I knew that there was a pastor of a church, Christ the King Lutheran Church in Bloomington. He hosts events like this himself. He is a pastor that plays Dungeons and Dragons, which is so far removed from that satanic panic of the 80s. So I reached out to him in 2019, said, hey, let's do this. And he said, yeah, let's do this. And then 2020 happened, so it didn't happen, of course. But yeah, finding a location and other people who believe in the notion of giving kids a safe place to land, to make mistakes, to be around other kids their age. It's not about supervision. It's about fostering good relationships. So if you can find a location and people who agree with the idea of fostering good relationships, healthy relationships, then you have the makings for a really great summer camp, a really great Dungeons and Dragons experience. From there, it really ended up just being luck that another local business was like, hey, Hunter, we like this idea. And instead of seeing this as competition, let's see this as a partnership. Your players can come play with us after they've graduated, so to speak, from Mercury Adventure Club, or, you know, maybe they never graduate and they just stick around with you. But building up the community, getting more people feeling comfortable gaming, welcoming others to the table who maybe are different, older, younger, different in other ways, other abled bodies, all of that. It's about welcoming an environment. So what a rambling answer. So I guess really the big thing is find other people who agree with you and start making a plan. And if you've ever run a summer camp, you know that the big thing is just giving the kids something they can be curious about. Then you don't have to worry about behavior because they're more interested in whatever your goal is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine that, especially because kids are so, have such amazing imaginations, that, you know, when, if someone's hiring me to, you know, to run a game for them, right? You know, I feel a lot of pressure to, you know, I really want this to be worth it, mm-hmm. you know? And, And obviously you're going to put the work in because you want the kids to have a good time and, mm-hmm. and stuff. But at the same time, they're going to bring so much to that game just because they're kids.
Yeah, I will say this unironically, this is without qualification. Some of the best players I've ever played with have been my young players. I've got some 8-year-old players right now, 9-year-old players. Oh my gosh, they are terrifying in that they have a capacity to imagine a world that I am only along for the ride in. And the way they see the game, they challenge my understanding of mechanics and rules just to say the yes and. Like, let's make that possible because it's such a cool idea. Let's find a way to make that possible. It's so rewarding. So yeah, the kids bring so much to the game. They have no inhibitions about their creativity. It allows for an amazing experience.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so many of the adventures I've designed are just, you know, my kids telling me a story, just something that they dreamed up or something like that. And just in their pretend play. And I go, oh, you just gave me my next adventure.
Right? Exactly. They can be inspirational. They can also just give you some much needed perspective. Sometimes we adults, we get so stuck in tunnel vision. It's such a refreshing feeling to be broken out from that. And you get it from sharing perspectives. And sometimes these young people are the best way to share that perspective because they don't care about tunnel vision. They care about whatever's on their mind at that moment. And it could be anywhere from here to Istanbul. Who knows what they're talking about?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And in fact, I took a class on creativity when I was in college. And I think my one takeaway from that class was that creativity, when you test someone's creativity, it's measured in age. Mm-hmm. And the older your creativity level, the less creative you are. And there are certain sort of cutoff points. It's like fourth grade, eighth grade, something like that. That like there's points where you really start running into, as a kid, people telling you, no, that's impossible. No, you can't do that. No. And they start putting these limits on your imagination and basically telling you it is pointless to extend your imagination beyond these boundaries. And those boundaries get tighter and tighter and tighter so that you kind of give up on, the really amazing and fantastic stuff because you're told that this isn't worth your time.
And what a terrifying thing to be told that something that is so special isn't worth your time. I guess that's why I like elementary education. You know, I love that fourth grade, fifth grade age, old enough to be independent, but still creative enough, daring enough, bold enough to just not care so much. And they'll tell you all sorts of wild ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, next question is, how have you seen lives change because of your work? You're kind of still getting started, but I imagine that you still could have some experiences on this that you could share.
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing was kids having something regular for Dungeons and Dragons. This is what they want to have as their hobby. And they just can't get it off the ground. If they're lucky, maybe there's an after-school program or something. But if they're not, then they're looking. And the big thing is having a campaign that they can depend on. But then beyond that, I've seen kids and young people gain so much confidence. One weekend, I had a player. He left his character sheet at home. And the whole ride, he was telling his mom, I don't want to go. I can't do this. I don't have my character sheet. He's going to say, no, I can't play. And so she pulled me off to the side and said, hey, you know, he's not so happy. He's really upset that he doesn't have his character sheet. And I said, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it. We know enough about the numbers that we can make up some of the numbers as we go. But what matters is his character, which doesn't live on a sheet. It lives in his mind, in his imagination. Mm-hmm. And to see a kid go from distressed to flourishing. I got the feeling that this was a lesson in resilience that he just needed to learn that day. And instead of it being a lesson that I was teaching with like a lecture and a worksheet with, let's talk about social emotional learning, it was just doing. And we were able to reflect on it at the end. So was it so bad not having your character sheet this time? And he said, you know, I guess I didn't even think about it that way. So yeah, those sorts of transformations, they can happen when you least expect them, but otherwise it's just, we're moving a needle and kids start to understand the idea of cooperation, that their behavior affects others, to pay attention and initiative because the person in three turns ahead of you actually does change what you might do. And building a dice tower might actually drive everyone else at the table nuts. So maybe tone it down. Those are the mini lessons, but it can be really transformative otherwise.
All right, so you just rescued a genie from the hands of an Ifriti, and it offers you three wishes to achieve your goals to make the world better. What do you wish for?
Now, I've always stayed away from the wish spell. It just is way too risky. So, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to phrase it in a way that would get past a very troublesome DM who's very nitpicky. But I think for me, my biggest wish is that we really would care about each other and take care of each other. There's a quote that I used when I was giving a speech in German way back when I was a foreign exchange student over there. And I won't do it in German, but the gist of it was that on the day that we realize that all children are our children, well, that's the day that we start seeing peace on earth. And I think really, here we are in a world where everyone's feeling really desperate. Some of us are really good at pretending that we're not, but most of us are, you know, an accident away from bankruptcy, or maybe money is tight, food is, you know, we're tightening our belts in a lot of ways. And I think just really the big thing is I wish that people would take care of each other and saw the good in just that, the idea of community. And, I suppose I'd also just love people to give each other a break. We all make mistakes, and you know, we've got the capacity for greatness. If I were to go into my classroom and remember every mistake that my kids made, they would never be able to come back from that. And we're really unfair to adults too, where we expect so much from one another, and mistakes, we can't come back from them so often. So I guess I wish for forgiveness for people, a community for people, and that we really get our needs met with one another and by one another. Are those three wishes? Did I do it right?
Yeah, I think you got it there. So, all right. So what one message would you like to give gamers with kids?
Play with your kids. Try it. If you're not a gamer, go to a session with someone like me. Go with your kids. Have a good time. If your kid wants to do something with you, especially the older they get, if your kid wants to do something with you, say yes. Say yes. It's the easiest win you could have. But if they don't want to play with you, be grateful that they're letting you drive them, I guess. And then ask them, did you win, son? You know, did so if you have kids that if you are a gamer and you have kids that don't want to play, don't force them. If you're a gamer and you do have kids that do want to play, if they want to play with you, do it. And I guess just play with your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, and I, you know, I'm guilty of this too, that I get, you know, I'm busy. I've got so many things I need to get done. And it's just so easy to say, okay, not today, because I've got to get this thing done, and yeah.
it is tough. I mean, my kid is 6 years old, and I'm trying to be more mindful. If I'm playing more games with other people's kids, I should spend more time with him too. So A part of me is trying to introduce him to the hobby. He's painted his own minis. He did this one. He's working on, you know, his own skills. I'm hoping I can get him into these games, because then it's not, hey, why are you going to play with other kids? Can I come with you? I think just making being intentional about that time. We are too busy as adults, and we just have to be intentional. This is another thing that we have to put on our to-do list. It's not a chore. It's an honor. But we have to put it on our to-do list.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things you got to put it on your calendar or whatever. What I did for mine, my kids, because I have this plan that I'm working on for a new product, and it's going to require some play testing. Mm-hmm. So, and it's something that I want to be really simple and easy to pick up. And I thought, well, they'd be the perfect people to help me to try it out. And so I mentioned it to them. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all it takes, because then they will keep asking me and bugging me.
Yeah, well, you made a promise then just by asking, right? And I mean, if you wanted a real stress test, put under the hands of a kid, you know? You'll find out really quickly if it works.
Yeah, yes, they will go off the rails immediately.
And they'll break it, and you'll be grateful for it, I hope.
All right, so what message would you like to give to gamers who don't have kids?
So if you don't have kids and you're going out to that local gaming store and you see that there are kids playing, say yes. So many times I've seen people like, oh, I don't want to play with kids. And you're missing out on an opportunity. Now, I'm not saying that you have to love kids. There's a whole lot of just like weird stuff out there. Like, oh, adults playing with kids is weird. And I get it. I'm a teacher. I see that. But, you know, young people have so much to offer. We do ourselves a disservice as adults if we automatically discount their capacity for amazing things. And so if you end up being stuck, you know, air quotes, stuck at a table with youth, give it a chance and find out what they're really about. You might end up sharing the spotlight with them a little bit more than you wanted to. You might also find that they're happy to share the spotlight with you, and you might have the most amazing session you could imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, as much as when we play games like this that, you know, we think about being a hero, man, being an adult in a kid's life, you want to be a hero?
Yeah.
There's your opportunity right there.
Yeah. Showing up and taking an interest, you automatically have done something special.
Absolutely. All right. So what other projects are you working on now that you can talk about?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the summer camp is the big thing. Definitely enroll your kids. 10 to 16 is the recommended age, but you know, who need, you know, just like, in 5e, you make rulings, you don't stick to rules. We don't have to be rigid. But yeah, I am doing, monthly RPG playtests for systems that I've always wanted to try but could never get anyone to play with me. So I'm like, hey, let's do these on the fourth Thursday of the month. And I also decided that on the first Wednesday of the month, I'm going to do painting parties, mini painting. It's such a big, scary thing for folks. They don't want to make, I mean, you said so yourself, I'm not a good painter. I'm not a painter. I can't do it. Well, just come over, use my brushes, use my paints. I'll give you some tips. And, we'll try it. Make it really as accessible as possible. And if you make a mistake, well, go with the Bob Ross. It's not a mistake. It's a happy little accident. We can turn it into something else. Otherwise, I am offering actively weekend campaigns for youth. I've got two running. I'm about to start my third one. We play on Sundays in the St. Paul/Roseville area. I'm a little bit full on my calendar, believe it or not. It's a good problem to have. But if you're looking for an adult campaign and you want to have, you know, your 21 plus campaign, you know, reach out. And I run custom campaigns as well.
Cool. All right. So we'll have all your contact information in our show notes. But where is the one best place you'd like people to start to learn more about you or to contact you?
I mean, just check out our website, mercuryadventureclub.com, and on Facebook, facebook.com/mercuryadventureclub. We post our events. I post a blog. You can find out what I'm all about, and see that I am trying my best to be just a member of a community, maybe a leader in the community, if the community will have me. Contact me, reach out, ask questions. I'm happy to connect.
Awesome. All right, Hunter, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone, check out those links in the show notes.
Thanks so much, Dale.
It was a great interview. And Hunter, thank you so much for coming on. Big shout out to our Patreon patrons that helped to make all this happen. We have new patrons this month again. And so I so appreciate you. Big thanks to Victoria Selness, Francine Beattie, Adam Reinhardt. Thank you so much for dreaming with us. And thanks to our patrons, every month we get to add community copies to our store for those who can't afford our products. So if that's you, you can sign up for our weekly emails to get notified when they come available. This month, thanks to our patrons, we were able to add 28 copies of the Limitless Heroics coloring book and 11 copies of Limitless Heroics. All right, right now it's just digital versions, but they're out there. The great thing with the coloring books is you can print out multiple pages, and there's a license for teachers and anyone else that needs to use it in a setting where you have lots of kids, so that you could, or adults, let's be real. And so that allowed us to give away, just this month, $580 worth of products. You made that possible. And so I so appreciate the opportunity to do that. All right, patrons also get access to all of our content in a modular format that we call the Layer, plus exclusive extras, and all that for only $3 a month. Our highest tiers have all kinds of added benefits, so check out the link in our show notes for more details. If you see the show being helpful, hit the like button on YouTube. And if you'd like to see more of this, subscribe if you're not. If you know people that need to hear this, please pass it on to them. And if you, like me, think everyone needs to hear this stuff, pass it on to your social media friends. And don't forget to add those podcast ratings. It's so important. Really makes a difference. So thank you so much for joining us to make lives better with D&D. And for our closing question, how have kids improved your role-playing game experience? For me, I was just designing a monster this morning that my daughter invented.